It is good to speak these to your friends. Actually, there's a verse in Isaiah 55:11. It said, Jehovah's word will not return in vain, or will not return vainly. And I know a brother who received the Lord and came into the church life just from that verse. So you may not think that's an amazing verse, but actually it just shows that God's word is very powerful and can get into you, right? This is why we're here, to learn the word, right? And so I just wanted to give a quick a recap of what we did yesterday. If anyone missed the meeting, you shouldn't have. This is training. But what is fruit bearing, right? Our brother brought this out. You know, a lot of us have a concept that fruit bearing is we just need one person to speak to a large congregation and they're saved. You know, this is a type of preaching the gospel. This is really the initial stage of preaching the gospel. But really, in a matter of fruit bearing, it's not just up to one person to do this. There is something that, you know, we need to realize that we need to take the responsibility, okay? And then our brother also brought out that this is what's on God's heart, right? Genesis 1:26, he made man in his image, according to his likeness, gave man dominion. The next verse, he made man male and female. And then the first thing he spoke to man, in verse 28, was that they should go forth and be fruitful and multiply. So God's desire is for increase, right? And, you know, this is what's on God's heart. And we should have this kind of feeling as what is on our heart, right? Does our heart match what's on God's heart? And I think even in the group time yesterday, what was brought out in my group and probably a lot of the groups was, you know, we were touched by this message of fruit bearing and maybe even convicted that, wow, we have a lack of fruit bearing. And so I do want to bring out one point is that, you know, if you get touched by something or you're convicted by something, you need to take that to the Lord, right? And you need to open that. And I just appreciate it. It doesn't need to be something, don't need to compose some sort of prayer, like a long prayer that you feel, okay, this will make me then at this point a fruit bearer. But you should just be genuine with the Lord, right? You should come and say, look, Lord, one thing I don't have is a desperation for my friends, or I don't have a desperation for my family to be saved, to come into the church life, to be the fruit that you've borne. And, you know, and another thing is I don't have a heart for men, right? I think a lot of us have this disposition whereby we may not like speaking to people, right? But we have a commission, actually. And anyway, when we get into this message, we'll see that this commission is ours, it's our responsibility, and we need to take this up, right? And so we need to preach the gospel, right? But then, now we come to this message. Should we read the title together? It's message 2. Bearing fruit by enjoying the riches of Christ's life. So, just firstly, in experience, you may get stirred up, right? You may feel like, okay, I need to speak. I need to speak to my friends, right? So you speak to them, and you get them saved. Or you say, well, I got my friend to call on the Lord's name, right? And then what next, right? Then you think, okay, what next? What did the brothers tell me at college training? Or what did the brothers tell me at a summer school of truth? Well, I need to get them baptized, right? How do I do this? Okay, maybe I need to take them to a home, do something, right? And this is, this is right. Okay, we do need to do this. But eventually we feel, and I could tell from the testimonies, that we'd like to supply them with something, right? It's not just, you know, this is the initial stage of salvation is to receive the Lord as their life. But actually at that point, what they need is food. And so we need to be ones who can give them food. How do we do this? Well, appreciate it in just that last message, right? Muse upon the Word of God. Amen. When you muse upon the Word of God, you're enjoying the riches of Christ's life. Amen. And these riches, they get into your being, they constitute your being, and then when you speak to your friend, not only are you speaking these riches, when they're open to receive the Lord, you can give them some life, right? And then this will start the feeding process. And so I don't want to use a quick... Oh, I got a pen. Right, let me get... I'm very much a picture person, and I feel like we haven't had any pictures yet. So we need... we've spoken about pictures, but it's nice to draw pictures. Oh, my name's Raymond. I'm from London. Actually, my home now is in Jerusalem. I grew up in London. So I'd like to give you a picture of the good land, right? And the journey of the children of Israel. So here you have... This is Egypt, okay? And a lot of you would have seen this maybe if you grew up in the church life. I grew up in the church life, maybe at a... So this is Egypt, right? It's going to make more sense, okay? So that, maybe you haven't seen this yet, right? Okay. So this is the Mediterranean Sea. I may not have left enough space, but I only need a little bit of Israel, okay? So this is the Sinai. It comes up, right? And then you got Saudi Arabia here. So the Sinai. And then coming down here, this is Israel, okay? So the children of Israel, we know they're in Egypt, right? Write this. Let's hope that I can spell Egypt right. Okay. So thankfully, the Lord saved them, brought them out. They came down, had a few experiences at Elim, Mara. Came to Sinai. What did they get at Sinai? They got the Ten Commandments and the instructions for the tabernacle, right? Eventually, they came up to the good land, and they came to this place called Kadesh Barnea. Okay, Kadesh Barnea. Do you know what happened there? Anyone know? Okay, I'll tell you. Moses sent 12 spies into the good land. Do you remember this story? No? A little bit? Okay. So who could, maybe somebody who just, who graduated high school? Just recently. Okay, who could tell me out of this group, two of the spies that went in? Two of the spies? Caleb and Joshua. Well done, Caleb. So Caleb and Joshua, right? They entered the good land, and they entered with the other spies. Okay, how about somebody who just finished freshman year? What did they come back with? What did they come back with? Grapes, right? Actually, a bunch of grapes. Also, they came back with pomegranates and figs, right? But mainly it was grapes. What were they doing? They bore fruit. Right? They were bearing fruit. You see? So, I don't know if you ever realized that. Maybe write that down if you've never known. They came back bearing fruit, right? So, anyway, just using this type, we can see that although there was a lot of experiences of the children of Israel in the Sinai, in the desert, actually, in order for them to bear fruit, they had to be in the good land. They had to be. Although we know the story that in the end, the Lord was upset, right? The children of Israel, they got scared. There's a battle, right? There's a battle to get into the good land. But anyway, they got upset, and the Lord got upset with them. And well, he said, he needed to put them through a process of training, right? To gain the good land, actually. Joshua and Caleb were ready to go, but then the rest of the children of Israel needed training, right? What are we here? We're here in a training. Amen. So we're here to be trained to bear fruit, right? And this is God's desire. Amen. So anyway, Joshua and Caleb had the gift of bearing fruit. But maybe some of us, we feel like we don't have the gift. I know in my experience, I felt like when I was preaching the gospel, I used to pray, Lord, give me the gift, right, of preaching the gospel. We should pray for gifts, but actually, in a sense, in my mind, at that point when I was praying, I was thinking, I just want to be able to, in a miraculous way, save people. But actually, when we come to this message, we'll see that, And what was mentioned yesterday is it's a way of life. Okay, this is a living. And then out of this living, we'll bear fruit. How about we all read Roman numeral 1 together?
To the Gospel of John, the Gospel of life, preaching the Gospel, slander or not of mere speaking, teaching, but of bearing fruit. It depends upon the riches of life within.
Okay. So when you come to this, you think, okay, the Gospel of John, what about the other Gospels, right? So the other Gospels, we see in Matthew that, what did he say in Matthew 28:19? He said, you know, go therefore and disciple all the nations, right? And then in Mark, he speaks about, you know, go into the world, right? And speak the Gospel to the world, right? And it's similar in Luke. But in John, we come to this point of the need to abide, right? John 15:1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then in 4, verses 4 and 5, you know, it's the matter of abiding. You know, abide in me, and I in you. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And we need to live a life of abiding. And what I appreciated, especially from this week, is that all the messages, even if they're not fruit-bearing, they actually are towards fruit-bearing. If you realize that, what is our morning time for? Yes, in some sense, it is a personal time with the Lord for us to grow in life, right? But then also, what is this life supposed to issue out of? It's the issue out of bearing fruit. Exercising the Spirit. You know, we just had a message on getting into the Word, musing in the Word, right? Why is this? It's because, you know, we want to give others these riches. We don't just want these riches for ourselves, but we want others to have this, right? And even the title of this message is, you know, enjoying the riches of Christ's life. This is an overflow. How about we have brothers on A? So the point I want to mention here is there is a need for a supply in our being. And a very simple example, you may have heard it before, but a baby cannot speak when it's first born, right? And so there is a need of nourishing, right? The mother comes to nourish, cherishes the baby, nourishes, gets the food into the baby so that at 2 or 3 years old, they're learning to practice to speak, okay? And so, you know, we're no longer, now you're in a college training, I don't count you as so much of a really young believer. I believe that you can all speak. And even when you're initially saved, you can still speak. You'll be practicing, you'll be learning. We should learn, you know, that if you stop practicing something, actually, you forget it. Right, I used to be very good on the trumpet, musical instrument. For those of you who don't know what a trumpet is, and I was very good. And then a year ago, I felt, well, I haven't played in 5 years, right? And so I took it out of its case, and I tried to play, and I was awful. And you know why? You know why with the trumpet is the need for practice, especially is because your lips. Okay, so it's a matter of training your lips and practicing. And then your lips become tighter and tighter so that you can play the higher notes. So something that I could play 5 years ago, actually I couldn't do. So anyway, I'd just like to encourage you. Yeah, I know. Oh, Lord. I'd like to encourage you that this isn't something that, you know, we say, okay, I'll do this for a month and then I'll wait a few years. That's good. Maybe maybe I felt like I caught a fruit, you know, and then I wait a few years and then I go, because it's very hard to get out of it. And then in our practice as well, maybe it's good to mention this point is, with bearing fruit, when fruit comes from the tree, it doesn't necessarily come in the summer or the autumn, or the fall, or the winter, it may come in the spring, right? Or it may come in the autumn, it may not come in the spring. So what we see is, actually you could say, for instance, almonds, they come, they ripen in the spring, right? But then the grapes, they ripen in the autumn, fall. Sorry, I'll get used to it. Amen. Autumn is fall in London, okay. But they ripen at different times. So, but we need to be willing to practice. So maybe you have some time that you go, you say, okay, Lord, how about this time I go out and speak? And maybe you don't get anything. You know, maybe the harvest isn't the right time. But I tell you, if you diligently do this each week, for sure the Lord will honor this, and the Lord will give you someone, you know, to take care of, to give the riches, and that you could, you know, in verse 16 of John, it says, you know, you did not choose me, so we did not choose the Lord, right? And he said, but I chose you, and I chose you that I set you to go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, right? So we're not just here to save sinners, preach the gospel to them, but we'd like them to remain, to enjoy the riches of Christ, right? Which is in the good land. Okay, how about we have sisters on B? Amen. Here I have a point. It says everything related to life requires training. Okay. And anyway, so you know, here it's a great opportunity. Ask your fellow peers. Ask even the serving ones. You know, say you could open up. I struggle with the, you know, my growth in life. How do I grow in life? I'd like to grow in life. I'd like to enjoy the Lord, right? Anyway, we have to move on. How about we all speak Roman numeral 2. Leading people to salvation does not involve things that are miraculous. Rather, it is according to the law of fruit bearing. Okay, so something miraculous is, you can simplify it and say it's usually something sudden, something that happens. Usually something great, something, you know, with a shock, it's a miracle, right? But the matter, the law of fruit bearing is, it takes time, okay? So you may get discouraged sometimes, but you shouldn't, okay? Because we need to see that actually for fruit bearing, it's a matter of time. So I just read point A and then I have my first pop-up. Okay, fruit bearing is not miraculous in nature. Rather, it is according to the law of life. So I'm going to have Matt come up and share his testimony.
So my name is Matt. I actually came to the church life when I was a freshman. I'm a senior now. Just a little bit about myself. I was raised, born again. My parents used to speak in tongues and, you know, all that jazz. So I growing up like that, you know, we were really, we had Bible studies and everything. And then when I turned 16 or, you know, went to high school, I kind of just like stopped reading the word, stopped, you know, just caring. And actually freshman year of college, I had this friend that I had for about a month. He was a brother, and he said to me, one time he was like, hey, a couple people and I are going to go read the Bible. You want to, you interested or anything? And I just kind of was like, oh, man, I should do that. Yeah, that's what Christians do, right? We read the Bible, you know, we do these things. I was like, man, I need to do these things. And he responded, and this was so subtle, but it was spontaneous. He was like, bro, you don't need to do anything. You have a want and a desire in your heart to know the truth. Wow. That's all he said. And I just stared at him, and he walked away because I was literally just staring at him. like open mouth, like. And he was like, okay, this guy's weird. Just kind of walked away. And so that changed me. I was like, what does he know that I don't know? You know, and actually for, I was, oh, Lord Jesus, I was, for 3 days after, because he walked away, I didn't get his number, I didn't get anything from him, so I didn't know where he was, but for 3 days on the campus, I was going up to strangers asking, where is this brother, where is he, where does he sit, does he hang out, where does, and people were like, who's this kid, like, searching for this man? Like, and I was literally just, like, a freshman going up to random strangers, and they're like, no, we don't know this person, we don't know. And it was 3 days, like, 3 days, and then I saw him, I was on the third floor, I remember this, I was on the third floor of the campus center, I saw him, he was in the atrium, and he was, like, reading volume one of the Basic Elements of Christian Life. And he was reading that, and I saw him, and I was like, and I sprinted down all three floors, and I ran to him, and I actually like, startled him, because I was like, what is that? What are you reading? Like, I was like, tell me everything you know. And he was like, stop screaming, we're in public. Like, people were just staring at me, and he was like, just sit down, yeah, I'll explain everything. Like, and so, you know, then I met Serving One, and you know, the rest is kind of history. But, you know, I was like a baby. You know, I need some nourishment, and I didn't have it through all of high school. And then all of a sudden, I see this person who was willing to speak this one thing. And even he, when I tell him about the story, he was like, I said that? I didn't even, like, what? It wasn't like an amazing thing he said. It was just like, that was like, yeah, I do want to know the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. Amen. So, you know, that's just a small experience. And then even that, he gave me, you know, the Basic Elements of Christian Life. And, you know, he was nourishing me, he was shepherding me, you know. And sort of, you know, then I met the Christians on campus. And so, and you know, now I'm here, you know. So, amen. And yeah, so that's just a little bit about that. Right?
Amen. Man, I realize the time is flying. But yeah, the riches of Christ, right? When they get in and they start feeding, it wasn't necessarily miraculous, but it was just a little bit of dispensing, right? And our brother Matt, he just started reading the Basic Elements of the Christian Life, kind of dug into them, and there was a life supply. Okay, how about we read all together on B, and then alternate brothers on 1 and sisters 2 until 4. In order to experience the law of life, we must fulfill certain requirements. Brothers,
we need to abide in the Lord and absorb this supply.
We need to abide in the Lord and absorb the supply of God the Father as the soil that provides the nutrients, and the supply of the Spirit as the rain that waters and refreshes.
Amen.
We need to abide in the Lord and absorb God as our life and the Spirit as our air. So here I just like to briefly give you 4 points. These are 4 basic practices in our Christian life that we can do to get the riches of Christ into us. Okay, the first one is reading the Bible. Okay, if you don't have a Bible reading schedule, now is a good time to commit to the Lord, to say, Lord, I'd like to read your word. And, you know, actually it's more important that you stay consistent rather than how much you read. I remember I used to try and read a lot. And when I read a lot, usually I'd go a week, 2 weeks even, without even opening my Bible. And I think it's either, you know, it's a matter of overeating, but it's a matter of just not, you know, not being consistent with the Lord. So even, and I only picked this up during college, is my roommate kept me accountable, okay? So if you have a roommate, maybe you can do a pact with him. Say, look, right, before we go to bed at night, it has to be 5 minutes at least that we get into, actually, together we got into the ministry for 5 minutes. But when you get into the ministry, after that 5 minutes,
you'll want to read the Word. Trust me, you'll want to read the Word. So anyway, if you have a roommate or a housemate, actually it's a great way to get accountable and get into a habit of reading the Bible, and reading the ministry. Okay, point number two, praying. Okay, reading the Bible is like our feeding. Praying is like our drinking. Okay, so a lot of the time people can't eat food without drinking water. So, and then if you're a smart college student, you can say, well, I could do both at once, right? I can pray, read. Right? So reading and praying. Pray, read. Right? And the third point, we need a morning time with the Lord. Right? This is really like according to the training. Right? These are the points that have come out. And then finally is attending the meetings. And the last point the sisters read was, you know, we need to be in the church as the garden of God so that we can be nurtured and protected. And, you know, the being in the church, you know, I don't think I would still be loving the Lord right now if I wasn't in the church. I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful to, you know. Anyway, amen. I don't need to mention that. Right. Okay, but the point is that the vine, you know, if you're not connected to the vine, and even as your connected part, it moves onto a road, okay, this is the point that came out in the ministry, if it moves onto the road, it can be run over, okay, this is a matter of us leaving the church life. And even leaving the church life, how can you bear fruit if you leave the church life? There's no net, right? If you go to the olive farms in Israel, when you're trying to take the olives off the trees, what the farmers do is they'll put the nets under the trees to catch the fruit. So if you still love the Lord, but you leave the church life, you have no net, right? So bearing fruit is really not possible. Okay, point C, together. When there is the proper cooperation, much fruit can be born. Thus, we all must learn to responsibly cooperate with the law of fruit bearing. So here I believe a pop-up of John and Justice would like to come up. There's two brothers. So Justice.
Amen. Hallelujah for fruit bearing. Amen. Just want to share a quick experience that we had about a year ago. Me and Justice came in and started, he moved in with me, and really this matter of abiding the Lord, spending time with the Lord, and that's where everything started to flow. So me and him moved in, we're across the street from a college, and all of a sudden this one kid from Vietnam moved in, you know, right off the plane. He'd never been to Canada before. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, you know, we were starting to have meals, we were starting to have meetings, and we were all coming together, we were singing some songs, and one day I just asked him, I said, do you want to come and join us? We're going to read through the mystery of human life. So, you know what, there's about eight of us all together, all sitting down, singing some songs, and we all started reading, taking a section each and reading it. And near the end, it comes up to the prayer, and it says, hi, would you like to pray with us? He says, yeah, I want to pray. I says, awesome. So we prayed, and then we just opened up and talked to him about, you know what, how you have a human spirit, and how you can contact the Lord by calling on his name. So the group of us, we all started just calling on the Lord, and just calling and calling. And you know what? And then we led into that from, there's a song called I've Decided to Follow Jesus. And this song, it was my mom when she grew up in Paraguay. It was a song that they really sang a lot when people used to go get baptized. You know, yesterday they talked a little bit about how God speaks to us. You know, God does speak to us. And something inwardly started stirring in me. It was saying, ask these brothers, ask them their experience of being baptized, some of the Christians that are there. So we just opened it up and we started talking about that, and it started to go around. I'll let Justice keep going from here. Is that right?
Yeah, amen. So, So, let's kind of backtrack. So, 2 years prior to that, so 3 years from today, I truly gained the Lord, born again at the end of my first college term. So, I come back for the second term, just fired up, right? So, there's one guy in my class, older guy, 30 years old. Started hanging out with him, had a burden, right? So we had an hour kind of during the day, each day of an hour break. So I'd print out, you know, the Gospel of Mark, right? Print out chapter by chapter. So every day we'd meet up and just read through the Gospel of Mark chapter by chapter, right? So we started really enjoying it, just little 15-minute segments. Started coming out with me. At that time I was denomination, so he's coming out to me through these young adults events. He was enjoying. He was touching something, amen. So Yeah, I know definitely a lot of struggles, a lot of trials, a lot of victories through that process. And just to speak quickly on that, the Lord really develops in you this heart that you know that He has, that Paul has, that's echoed in 1 Thessalonians 2, you know, exhorting fathers and nursing mothers. You really develop this heart. You see them as your children. Age isn't anything. It's not that. It's just, you know, you bury these ones. It could be 6 years old, it could be 10 years old, right? You see them as your own. So you weep over their stumbles and you rejoice over their victories, and it's just such a tender heart. So just Lord's sovereignty. So even just to see, you know, that brother High after 2 weeks, John will finish the story, but after 2 weeks, High had an experience. And this brother that I was shepherding for 2 years, Lord sovereignly placed them together in this house at this very time. Right? So you have 2 year process with this one brother and the other brother 2 week process.
Yeah, so we just kind of opened it up to these testimonies and we started talking. And as I asked this one brother, he says, you know what, something is stirring up in me that I feel I need to get baptized. Amen. Well, there's a bathtub upstairs. So I looked over. Well, I quickly grabbed the sponge and I ran upstairs to give the bathtub a good scrub. But
brother's bathroom, so yeah.
So we came back down, and you know what? I asked High as well, the one that had just received the Lord, just by calling the Lord. I said, do you want to get baptized as well? He says, yeah, I want to get baptized. So we actually had 3 brothers that night that got baptized. And it really is just a matter of abiding in the vine.
Amen.
So that related to the point of proper cooperation, much fruit can be born. So when we all learn to responsibly cooperate with the law of fruit bearing, right? Sometimes it is quick, but a lot of times we find it's a little slower. It takes time. Okay. How about we all read point D?
As long as we labor according to this law, it will be very easy to bring people to the Lord.
So fruit bearing, it's just like anything in the Christian life, it's normal. So what is to be a normal human being? To know God, not only as the creator who created us, but to know the meaning of our human life. A person who does not know God actually is abnormal. The only normal person is a Christian. If you do not know God, of course, you know, not only objectively, but you have not received Jehovah, Jesus the Savior. Jesus means Jehovah the Savior. You don't know why you're living here on earth. Right? So to be a new normal person, you have to know, not only objectively, He as the Creator. A lot of people know Him as the Creator, but more so subjectively, to know Him as our Savior and as our life. Life. This is God's economy. What God wants to do is just to dispense Himself, Him as the process and consummated triune God. Amen. Father as the source, the Son as the flow, the course, and the Spirit, right, flowing in, into us. Amen. So today, we had to know Him as the Spirit. Amen. The life-giving Spirit, not only the Spirit, but the Spirit who gives life. Amen. That is the beginning of the subjective knowing of God. And that is the beginning of a real Christian life. A lot of Christians say, you know, I know the Lord, you know. But how many of you here, yes, you say, I grew up in a children's meeting, Sunday school, whatever you have. But I think we all should have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. You know, it could be 16, you know, grew up to church, like 18, I don't know when, that you would come to touch something. That means you really open up your heart and pray and call, say, Lord Jesus. I grew up in a Christian family. 16, doubted God. What if it's Muhammad or, you know, Confucius at the end? It's not Jesus. How do I know Jesus is real? I've been brainwashed all my years. How do I know God is real? How do I know God is Jesus? How do I know the Bible? Pray. Have you gone through that process? I hope you all do before you go to college, because you'll be challenged. Okay, why I say this, because what is to live a normal, I emphasize the word, normal, normal Christian life? I was listening to the tapes, 1984 to 85, Brother Lee himself, before FTTT, asked the same question. He himself had 12 lessons on how to shepherd a new one. So what would you say to a new one? Okay, we're all new, right? Beginning from regeneration, believe and baptize. The four things that is normal to be a normal Christian life. He touched two. Number one, not eating, but breathing. Praying. So praying is breathing. Everything in life, think about it, is automatic, it's spontaneous, it's effortless. What happened with a baby? I have two children, one C-section, the other natural birth. I was just there waiting. Baby is here. If the baby doesn't what? Breathe. You better, I don't know what you do, you know. First thing is what? Breathing. So is it hard to pray? Do you think prayer is hard? No. Right? Do you think for a baby, breathing is hard? No, it's something within his life to sustain, maintain, and to grow, right? But, of course, if you want to be an athlete, play trumpet, you have to control your breathing. I play Tai Chi. You got it? Okay, that's it. Okay, I'm not talking about an advanced form of prayer, okay? I'm just talking about basic. Just say, Lord Jesus! Lord, I'm so dead. I'm bored. You know, prayer is just talking to the Lord, right? It's nothing. It's just nothing. Don't think it as too hard. Everything with life is easy, right? Because this life is not your life. It's not a human life. It's the divine life. It is the process and consummated triune God. As he has dispensed himself into our spirit. It is this resurrection life. Ascended life. So live by this life. First thing, prayer. Second thing. What do you do? What? I'm hungry. Yeah, drinking, eating. Breathing, right? Prayer is like breathing. Prayer is like drinking. And sometimes you drink the milk of the word. It's got newborn babes. May the Lord recover all of our reading of the Bible. It's not a law, right? Aren't you hungry? I'm hungry. For long, don't talk about steak. I'm hungry. Right? Don't you have an appetite for the Word of God? Right? Because it's in our, we're born with it. Right? Our regenerated life needs feeding. So to read the Bible is not, oh no, I have to read the Bible again. Yeah, we got to memorize. That's another form of reading, okay? Yes. But it should be within. What am I talking about? Normal. What is normal? Life is normal. And life is for enjoyment. Isn't drinking, advanced form of drinking, bubble tea, British tea, coffee, I don't know, you know, cold brew, whatever machines you have. Okay. Isn't life enjoyable? Isn't prayer enjoyable? Isn't reading the word? Man, that peace. Oh, every word. Man, does not live by bread alone. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hey, it's normal. Okay, don't think it's so hard. But come back to your human spirit. Come back to the person. There's a new man in you, right? The old man, right? Pass away. Whoever is regenerated, believe in the Lord. Old things have passed away. Behold, they have become new. So we're a new creation. New creature in Christ. That new babe, newborn babe, need to grow. Okay, third thing. Yeah. Okay. I better go quickly. Okay, my time is already up. Okay. It's go to the meetings. Why do we eat? Why do we breathe? Why do we? Because life needs it. You know, the Christian life that we have is a life that loves to meet. We're not butterflies. Oh, I saw some dragonflies. We're not dragonflies. We're bees. We are sheep. The life that we have is a member life. We are baptized, what, into one's body, right? And to keep drinking the one spirit. So to me, this, you know, you meet a Christian, right? Don't you want to run after that person who has the same life but grow up a little more? Oh, 3 days. You want to meet somebody. That's the same as you are, right? Someone, right, who enjoys the Lord. Then that's in the meetings. So meeting with the saints is the greatest joy on earth, right? So find that joy. It's in our life, okay? It's in this Christian life that you have. Because of this life, you have this such a living. It's not something you pretend to be. Just be with the bros, okay? Okay, bro, okay? Just stick with the bros, okay? Don't leave, okay? Just be with the brothers, okay? Because it's in you, okay? Just go with it. The fourth thing, preaching the gospel. Even as a new believer, within that person, remember the Samaritan woman? Hey, I met this guy. He told everything I did. Who is he? So what did she do? She threw down her bucket and ran and told, whoa, I met this person. Is that Messiah? So four things, including here, normal. That is to be normal. Hey, it's normal to pray, normal to read the Bible, normal to go to meetings, to be with the saints. And it's normal to overflow. Even that life is a little bit. I only can say, come and see. Right, remember? The two disciples only said, come and see. That's all I can say. It's okay, just say, come and see. Right. You don't have to be like Peter on the day of Pentecost. Speak 10, 15 minutes. No, just say, come and see. Amen. It's okay. Right? Normal. He says, you know, okay, time is up. Shall I go on? But I have a lot to say. This is just the beginning, but yeah, a little more time. Okay, 5 more minutes. I barely started. But because what I'm touching here is the key. We're not a dead, religious, routine, church kid, you know. I know everything, you know, so whatever you're going to say. Hey, you know. No, we have to come out of it. This is real, saints. Fruit bearing is real. God is real. Amen. Christ is real. Amen. The Spirit is real. Amen. The body is real.
Amen.
The vine is real. I'm a branch. I'm a member. I'm just a branch in the divine organism of the process and consummate triune God.
Amen.
Where he's mingling himself. Right? He's dispensing himself.
Amen.
Whoa. So eventually, not only, no, I see him. I heard of you. Job, right? The sister talked about Job. Remember the last verse? I've heard of you. But now, what? My eyes have seen you. Seeing is believing in a spiritual world. Seeing is gaining. Once you see something, you get it. Right? Okay. Seeing, gaining, then becoming. So the process triumph God, he wants to increase. He wants to spread. And we are the branches. By enjoying him, right? As the word, as love, as light, enjoying him, the all-inclusive land. The all-inclusive Christ. Right? The land. Yeah, I've been there. Whoa. Very good. I love the dates with almonds. Okay. Okay. So by enjoying any part, right? We're going to get to the all-inclusive Christ. All the verses are yummy, you know? Why? God is what? Love. God is light. God is holy. God is righteous. All these verses you're eating. You're eating the triune God. Embodied in the word. So, you're what you eat. Meat lovers, okay? You are what you eat, okay? So, we eat God. Becoming God. We live because of him. Okay, so, you got it? So is fruit bearing something hard? Hey, you work out, you have the muscles. You eat the Lord, you flow the Lord. Okay, that's it. Whatever you enjoy, just flow. Let it flow. Okay, but now, okay. So there's a law, right? Everything's a law. Okay, I throw this up. What will happen? Calm down. I sin, I die. Spiritual death. Okay. Everything's a loss. In the realm of the spirit, it is a law. It is a spirit, the law of the spirit of life. God is life. Christ is life. The spirit is life. In me, my spirit is life. And this life, what, freezes me from the law of sin and death. Okay. Of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. Okay, so let's read Romans number 3. We need to abide in the Lord in order to bear much fruit. To abide in the Lord.
To abide in the Lord means that there is no insulation or distance between us and Him. There is nothing between us and the Lord.
Okay, we have a pop-up. Sorry. So, gotta give Jocelyn.
Insulation.
Pay attention to the word.
No distance.
So in my experience, my name is Jocelyn. I'm from Toronto. So my experience of the matter of to abide in the Lord means that there is no insulation or distance between us and Him. There is nothing between us and the Lord. And how this is related to abiding in the Lord and fruit bearing is my experience is growing up in the church life, when I preach the gospel, I speak off a script from just what people tell me and just, you know, a lot of the doctrinal parts. And then as I grow more in the Lord, I realize that I was very convicted, and there was this opening to the enemy to ask me if I've ever had a genuine experience of the Lord in terms, you know, for instance, when I preach the gospel on God is love. And so when I speak that to the students now as a serving one and even just, you know, as a college student, the enemy won't ask me. He's like, well, have you ever had experience that you can tell, you know, that God really loves you? And so I realized that that was an insulation between the Lord and I. So over the years, as I was preaching this, it got to a point where I just felt like the enemy just said, you're a hypocrite and you're just lying because you're just saying something because the Bible tells you so when other people say it. But I was never had a personal experience of the Lord. So eventually it got to a point I was so upset after I was sharing something with someone about God's love. And I just I ran away afterwards and just yelled at the Lord of, Lord, you can't do this to me. How can you expect me to preach the gospel with great conviction when I have never experienced your love towards me? So I said, Lord, I give you 1 week to give me an experience that I can say with great conviction that you love me. So it was Monday noontime when I said this, and it was Saturday noontime. And I said, Lord, you still have about 24 hours. So what are you going to do about this? You know, I don't want, you know, I want to choose this path. I want to choose this way and to preach the gospel in a way of ministering life to others. But anyways, you have 24 hours. So in that conversation with the Lord and just challenging the Lord in a very fearful way, but also in a very seeking way, the Lord said something to me, and then it just softened my heart, and I just declared to the enemy that God loves me and God is a very subjective God. And so ever since then, you know, when I share on the matter of God's love, I can testify before man and also before the angels that God is love.
Amen.
And I can be with full assurance that there is no insulation between me and the Lord.
Amen.
So if you're not fruit bearing, okay, actually I have a lot of messages, you know, you can read, please add chapter 4 of Bear Remaining Fruit, you know, actually it's from this. And also, this is probably in the 80s. You have the 70s, the 80s. Let's see, how do I crystallize that? Is that actually, how do you enjoy the Lord? It's by fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. Right? In that portion you read, right? It's chapter 4. Our concepts, I enjoy the Lord and fruit bearing. And I go to bear fruit. But actually, Brother Lee, at that time in the 80s, if you read all this, because we're barren, deadness, lukewarmness, barrenness, the three greatest things, vital groups, you know, if you follow up, is this matter of not bearing fruit. Because not bearing fruit is an indication we may not have the full enjoyment of Christ. So how do you have the full enjoyment of Christ? Bear fruit. So it's chicken and egg. The angel of the Lord, okay, after reading this, okay, dealing with the Lord, you're going to talk about. So I'm not going to go until I'm holy. You know, I have a halo, and I'm shining, and I memorize all the Bible verses. Then I can go preach the gospel, right? Is that our concept? No. Actually, Brother Lee, you can turn in that way. How do you have the riches of enjoyment of Christ? It's by you go bear fruit. That fruit will become a child. Because by that, you will, right? You will begin feeding. You know, moms, right? If you feed, you got to eat. Right? Because of this, you have full enjoyment of Christ. Okay? I just want to add that point. I don't know how to go to this, but I like to, college students in Canada, we feel that 4 years in college, you got a degree. 4 years in a church life, what did you get? So we begin to have on Facebook. I see a lot of Facebook food, you know, pictures of food. Foodies, you know, everywhere on Facebook. Can we become an expert? I met a sister, actually. We were in a training together in Taiwan. She has 30,000 followers on Facebook. 30,000. She showed me 30 forums she has. That's a person, I tell you, sisters. She read the ministry. She categorized it, 30 sections, 30 categories. She posts them, one sentence, one-liners. So she has 30 followers over the world. Okay, just talking about this. Okay, so the whole point I'm getting at is that it's a matter of life. Insulation, okay? My point is insulation. We read one chapter, a year of Bible. Also, 15 books. All the college students in Canada, 15 books in 4 years to prepare to go to full-time training. You go or not, there are 15 books. So today, we're on what? The experience of life. And the matter of dealing with the world. Okay. Only 3 minutes. Okay, so the key is here. To be in Christ and abide in Christ, you have the revelation word in John chapter 15. But it takes 1 John, the whole book of 1 John, to talk about the fellowship with the Lord and the anointing. So you have the practices and the way it is in 1 John. How to abide, actually, it is in 1 John. Why do we pray? Why do we fellowship? Why do we pray? Why do we read the word? It's to have fellowship with the Lord. It is in the fellowshipping with the Lord that you consecrate yourself. So the consecration is not only once for all. The Lord may come to, how about your laptop? How about your internet? How about your time? How about your mouth? How about your hand? Have you consecrated item by item? Without consecration, there's no real beginning of the growth in life. Okay. Second thing, you deal with sin. It's like I have a dirty shirt. Then you deal with the world. It's like I have a colorful shirt. Polka dot. So everything polka dot. Hey, it's clean polka dot shirt. But I mean polka dot. It's the world is outside. But then you go deeper. You touch your conscience. Three things. But what I want to fellowship, so exercising the Spirit is not just loud. I'm loud because I'm, hey, that's me, you know. But it's to release, right? You need to release it. But exercising of the Spirit begins with dealing with your conscience. But that's only a beginning. That dealing with the conscience gives us a sense. You need to go deeper to have a sense of God. That is the anointing. You need it. The anointing of the blood. That's why you pray, Lord, I need the cleansing of blood. Then you have the Spirit. Okay, go and read those chapters in the experience of life. In this way, the more cleansing, the more blood, the more anointing, Anointing says add God himself into us. All the element of what God is. So to do something or not to do something is not according to our conscience only. Not according to the law, not according to the regulation, but much more according to the inner sense of life. When you have that small inner sense to preach the gospel, talk about baptism, go. So we need to follow that inner anointing. You see, even in preaching the gospel in our daily living. And that is to follow the Spirit, to abide all that in 1 John. By the anointing, we abide in the Lord. In abiding in the Lord, we have fruit bearing. Okay, so not only you have the Spirit, you have the anointing in our spirit, but the teaching of the anointing, I just want to say, is a matter of our mind. You may feel you do something, it's not right. Your conscience condemns you. Your spirit doesn't feel good. But not until you read the message, that will help you to confirm. Yes, there's no need to others to teach you, because the inward teaching of the anointing confirms with the word of God. So when you begin to do that something, right, that is to exercise your spirit by following your spirit. So my time is way, way over. But I'll stop here. Let's read the focus again. In order to bear
fruit, we need to cooperate with the law of fruit bearing by abiding in the Lord and enjoying the riches of his life.
So it's a law, right? It's life. It is the law of life. We just have to cooperate.
Amen.
Amen.